This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Eamon Dunphy. Now, in Brussels today, our new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, is going to raise Ireland's intention to formally recognise the State of Palestine when he meets the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen. Ireland is one of a small group of nations. Spain is the most important of them, Slovenia, Malta, who want formal recognition from the EU, but that is not going to come. Ireland also wants aid and a ceasefire, and Micheál Martin, the Minister of Foreign Affairs and former Taoiseach, now Taoiseach, has been very good and very strong in his support for a Palestinian state and indeed an end to what we're witnessing in Gaza. It's a pleasure to welcome now to the stand Peter O'Byrne. He's a very famous and distinguished British journalist. He was the political commentator, chief political commentator of the Daily Telegraph. He worked for the Mail and the Spectator and many others. He's a very distinguished journalist. He's also the author of The Fate of Abraham, Why the West is Wrong About Islam, and also a book called The Assault on Truth, Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, and the Emergence of a New Moral Barbarism. Peter, you're very welcome to the stand. I wonder, there was, I think, a letter sent by 600 legal people, academics, lawyers, former members of the judiciary, to the British Prime Minister asking for the same kind of thing that our own government is asking for, and reminding the British Prime Minister that the International Criminal Court is looking at this seriously and there's a motion before them which they regard as showing, quote, plausible evidence of genocide.
Yes, I think it is one of the most astonishing and troubling and actually awful moments of our lifetime.
Yes.
That the International Court of Justice, the International Criminal Court has been rather slack, actually. The International Court of Justice said last January in a ruling that Israel should be investigated for plausibly committing a genocide, and it laid down certain conditions for what Israel should do. Among them was to investigate Israeli leaders or those in Israel who've been inciting genocide.
Yes.
And in its document, it named the Israeli president, Herzog, for his remarks, the Israeli defense minister as well. Now, and of course, it said that they should be investigated. None of that's happened from Israel. And following up, we've now had this formidable document of more than 600 lawyers, including former Supreme Court judges, saying that Britain must at once halt arms sales to Israel. And referencing that very formidable and important legal ruling by the International Court of Justice, totally ignored by Rishi Sunak, the British Prime Minister, and by David Cameron, the Foreign Secretary, who indeed went on, went to Washington this week, standing shoulder to shoulder with Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, and saying, look, we're going to carry on selling arms to Israel. And that means that Cameron is making a judgment that this sale of arms, that actually that Israel is not committing human rights violations. It's an extraordinary judgment to make. I mean, there's so much evidence, much terrible evidence. It's not just the military atrocities, the slaughter of innocent people, thousands of them, but it's also the famine conditions now being imposed by Israel on Gaza. There are, thanks to Western pressure, that is starting to improve that situation. But we've had deaths from starvation, collective punishment, and yet the British Prime Minister and the British Foreign Secretary seem quite relaxed about this. And Keir Starmer, the next British Prime Minister, the leader of the Labour Party, seems pretty relaxed about it too, though he's starting to wake up, I think.
Yes, and we also see children, we see amputations without medicine. There is no
10 amputations a day.
Yes, and they just have to be done without any anaesthetic, that kind of thing. And there are 33,000 approximately people dead, innocent people, mostly, since this invasion. It is covered heavily on all the news channels, but it doesn't appear to move the British government, although we can say that our government has responded well, and it's important, and they are supported by the people here. But we don't really count for very much. What does count is Joe Biden's latest pronouncement that his support for Netanyahu and Israel was ironclad. This was in the face of a threat from Iran to take some revenge for the murder of some of its generals in its consulate in Damascus. But the bigger question here, Peter, and you were in Ramallah recently on the West Bank, what is Israel's, Netanyahu's, and more importantly, perhaps, the people in his cabinet to right of Netanyahu, what is their real goal? Is it to rid Gaza of the Palestinians? Is it to encourage the 700,000 illegal settlers on the West Bank to take that territory and ethnically cleanse Palestinians from there? Is that the real intent?
Let's first of all say just how grateful we are that Simon Harris and Michal Martin have taken this step towards recognizing a Palestinian state. It does matter what they've done, because they're Ireland is emerging very well as a moral nation, maybe perhaps because you suffered terribly under the British rule, and so you know about occupation. But whatever the reason, Simon Harris in Brussels today, three cheers for him. Thank you to him. And I wish that Britain would follow suit. You ask, what is the goal? Well, if you look to the look at this liquid far right coalition, which has fascist elements, some of the members of the cabinet are quite clear, really, that they do want what you might call a Jewish ethno state stretching from the Mediterranean to the Jordan River. If Palestinians are to stay, they should have no political identity except loyalty to the Israeli state. I think that's set out in the decisive plan, which Bezalel Smotrich, who's the head of the civil administration, as well as being finance minister, civil administration in the West Bank, has set out before he entered about 7 years ago. He called it the decisive plan, and it involves basically, is the whole of that whole of a kind of greater Israel. Now in Gaza, I mean, you've got these terrible pronouncements about sort of there's no such thing as an innocent Palestinian in Gaza.
Yes.
You've had the very indiscriminate killing of Palestinians. I think that the Israelis would be delighted if this Israeli government would be delighted if you could turn Gaza really into a part of Israel. And you know, you're getting this sort of language coming from the settler right. That's what they plan to do. You know, Gaza would then be cleared, and you'd get kind of beach, kind of prosperous beach sort of settlements, which would be probably sold off in New York. I mean, it's quite clear, I think, that is the ambition of a very significant portion of the Israeli government. Now, the United States could stop it in a moment.
Yes.
It could just stop. It could stop sending arms to Israel. It could order Israel to stop to sign a ceasefire. And it's chosen not to do that. Where do we go from here? Netanyahu says he wants to attack Rafah. That will be another sort of bloody episode. But what is, I think, quite scary, and I think not enough attention has been paid to this, is I think Netanyahu, who remember, needs to hang on into power, and he needs the war, really, to stop him being prosecuted for corruption.
And sacked as prime minister in an election.
And sacked as prime minister is, I think he's trying to widen the war. Now, we've seen this. He really wants to turn the news away from being the Israeli plausible genocide, to use the aimed at Gaza, and to becoming an Israeli-Iranian war, which would then, I think his calculation is, draw in the United States, probably Britain, and create a sort of regional convulsion in the Middle East. Now, the attack on Damascus on Iranian diplomatic premises in Damascus is the breach of all the conventions of the Vienna Convention. It's a war crime. I mean, yes. And it's very provocative. And now, now we have the killing of more members of the family of Ismail Haniyeh, the Hamas political leader. And that, again, is not the act of somebody who wants a ceasefire. It's somebody who wants to inflame the situation and make it worse. Now, what is Iran going to do is, I think, the big moment. We could find ourselves almost within days. Nobody knows. It's very hard to judge. There's a lot of talk now that we are going to get a major retaliation from Iran. I mean, Iran says it's going to do this, which could then open up to an Israeli invasion of Lebanon, or it could war against Hezbollah. A new dimension of horror entering this war. Will the United States be dragged in support of Israel against Iran? And that would, of course, distract attention from what's going on in Gaza, perhaps give Israel a bit of a more free hand in Gaza, and, of course, opens up what will happen on the West Bank, where, you know, we have these very aggressive settler movements, really wanting to seize the land from the Palestinians and entrench their control, perhaps ethnically cleanse more Palestinian villages, drive people into the towns. We have the ingredients of something quite terrible, as if it's not happening already.
Yes, I mean, on the West Bank the other day, an 11-year-old Palestinian boy was shot by a settler and killed. But the question of America's position on this and the United Kingdom. These are the two great powers of the past, perhaps in the case of the United Kingdom. But Where do we go if they go along? I mean, Biden looks like he's prepared to even blow the presidency and give the presidency to Donald Trump in order to support Netanyahu, Bibi, who he's known for 40 years, he says. This kind of tripe from the alternative to Donald Trump in the White House is troubling, isn't it? And frightening to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, the thesis is that, and I'm not an expert on American politics, that Biden's sort of left-wing support and the Democratic Party is disenchanted or appalled by his policy in Gaza, and they won't vote for him. I would say one thing. I mean, although I think that Biden has shown a complete lack of understanding of the Palestinian predicament, Trump really was worse. I mean, if you look at his record on...
Yes, moving the embassy to East Jerusalem was a particularly...
Moving the embassy to Jerusalem, backing Israel, whatever it did. Who was that ambassador he sent to Tel Aviv? You know, one of his big supporters, Friedman.
His son-in-law for a while. His son-in-law was charged with drafting a peace deal, which he did to some extent.
The so-called Abraham Accord, which, to use this very ugly jargon word, normalizes Israel's sort of diplomatic status across the Middle East, bringing in Saudi, the Arab states, as part of, in sort of partners with Israel. This is what Netanyahu's policy very much is. And I can't see that, and of course he ordered the assassination of Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Republican Guards, in a sort of another act of war. I was in the Tehran actually the following day. I happened to fly in by chance, and I witnessed these enormous event. I mean, Trump is very dangerous in the Middle East. He's more dangerous, actually, than Biden. And I think Biden has made a whole series of terrible political and moral misjudgments. I mean, America used to be able to claim to be the moral leader of the world, and it absolutely isn't now. It's a rogue state as much as Iran is, in my view.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
we have to talk about Putin in this conversation. What do we do about Putin, who, short of a change of mind in Congress about supporting Ukraine, looks like he will win that conflict, or at least Ukraine will be, you know, destroyed, and that opens many doors for Putin. But we are facing the following prospect, which I'm sure our listeners would be interested in your opinion, that come next November, we will have a world where Donald Trump is president of the United States, where Vladimir Putin is a winner, as they say, and where Europe really has no say in anything. That world will be fundamentally changed, will it not, Peter, from anything we've seen in our lifetime?
Yes, let's try and analyze what Trump is really doing, rather than, it's very easy with Trump. He has got a gift for a very inflammatory, newsworthy phrase. And he made this remark about that if European countries weren't going to pay their way as members of NATO, he would, I think Putin could invade them, something like that. And he used a colourful way of saying, that's just looking at it, assuming that Trump is in some way sane, yeah. That Europe has been getting protection for free from the United States, and it's time that Europe should come to the party financially and also with its own armies and so forth.
It was actually partially true in the case of Angela Merkel, who he directed one of his severest criticisms. The 2% of GDP, which every nation is supposed to contribute to NATO, Germans weren't, and even as they were the richest country in Europe. So that was what Trump was getting at, reflecting the kind of isolationist trend that is now very much part of the American mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in two minds about it. I mean, don't get me wrong on this. Trump is a monster. He's completely unfit for office. He's a threat in particular to the United States.
Yes.
The United States is the leader of the free world and a sort of a kind of representative democracy of the kind which the founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson and co, set up. He's a real threat to the United States. I think he is capable of talking sense about global politics. Isolationism, I mean, if you look at the record of the United States as over the last 30 years, actually, since really the fall of the Soviet Union, it has been a menace to world peace, in my view. It's given us Iraq war and the massive destabilization.
Yes,
it's been the major reason why we haven't had a peaceful resolution to the conflict in Israel Palestine, because it's been so one sided. There, nightmare in Afghanistan, and it's an illegal country in many ways. It doesn't recognize international organizations. It's tried to defund UNRWA under Trump, setting the precedent for what happened under more recently. It's doesn't recognize the International Court of Justice in any meaningful way. It's against the Genocide Convention. It is a very dangerous country if you're its enemy. And I think and Trump's isolationism is not necessarily in itself a bad thing.
No, he feels, and others who hold that view that he does, that America has spent too much blood and treasure on foreign adventures, going back to Vietnam and to Afghanistan. And of course, as you rightly point out, the fiasco that was the invasion of Iraq, facilitated, one has to say, by one Tony Blair.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was facilitated, although it would have George W. Bush would have gone ahead anyway.
He needed a bit of cover.
The problem about Trump, though, is he's not consistently isolationist. I tend to think, you know, so in other words, the act of war against Iran with the assassination or the killing of Soleimani, that you can see Trump being dragged into war with Iran more than, I think, than Biden. Biden is at least, he's a conventional politician, more conventional Democratic president. You know, he will be, with an appreciation of global world affairs, which is quite sophisticated, yes, dating back to the time when he was vice president, for instance, where he really was, he's an intelligent man.
Yes.
I'm quite certain that there are diplomatic channels between the United States and Tehran and the White House are buzzing all the time. There is a conversation, I'm sure. There is a major desire to avert war. I mean, Netanyahu, judging by his actions, is very keen to drag the United States into war against Iran and force Iran into a position where it has no choice. It feels it has no choice but to retaliate against these constant provocations by Israel. And I think in that little cameo, which could have calamitous global effects for each one of us, you know, even imagine the consequences for the oil price, for refugees, for can Russia avoid getting dragged in? Where does China stand in all of this? You know, the conflagrations across the whole Middle East, you could have the fall of the Jordanian monarchy, can have the fall of, you know, even Saudi Arabia, I think, might totter. Egypt is already very unstable.
Yes.
And if it fell apart, you know, the Sisi was unable to maintain himself as an American client dictator, and he's managing to do so at the moment. You're going to get chaos in Egypt, and you've already got that in Sudan. Very unnoticed, there's a horrible civil war, chaos and collapse in Sudan to Egypt's south. The waves of refugees that would suddenly start to flow. And then what does Europe do? And you can see a whole scenario unfolding, and it's not unrealistic. If senior people in authority make misjudgments, will happen, which will change the whole aspect of the world we live in. Amen.
Yes.
And I Biden is at least a I'm sure he doesn't want. He will try and stop all of that happening.
Yes.
Trump is more of a maverick. You don't know how he will react.
Just a final question on Rafah. Rafah is a town on the Egyptian border. There are over 1 million Palestinians there in various states of distress. If Netanyahu goes in there with the ground troops and does what he did elsewhere in Gaza, it's not going to be very nice, is it?
Well, it isn't nice at the moment, but I will have another wave of killings. I'm sure he's getting very firm instructions from the United States to lay off.
Yes.
But the trouble with, I'm very puzzled why Biden doesn't get heavier with Netanyahu. Yes. They like that's a lot. We're not going to, because they're still sending him arms, lots of them, as is Britain.
Yes.
My reading for what it is worth, from talking to insiders in Westminster, is this, that they are trying to use the threat of suspending arms as a in order to stop Netanyahu going into Rafah. They're trying to do it like that.
Yes.
So it's easy for me, commentator outside, to condemn them, and I do actually, for continuing to supply arms. But I think the reading you're getting from insiders is that it's being used as a way of affecting how the government of Israel behaves. The trouble that I think is that Israel is out of control, Netanyahu is out of control, and he is not a rational player anymore. I think actually, in all of this at the moment, Iran in my reading, is being behaving incredibly irresponsibly.
Yes.
He's been taunted by Netanyahu through these series of provocations, illegal provocations, into retaliation. He wants that conflict.
Yes.
And Iran at the moment is being very responsible, very sensible, and paying a very heavy price because by not retaliating, these drone attacks from Israel, very cowardly in a way. You know, there's no actual risk to Israeli life, but they've got the technology to pick out Iranian leaders, Hezbollah leaders, yes, as very senior commanders, and they're just taking these assassinations on the chin without retaliating, and in order to avoid a war. And there comes a moment when, you know, can they go on doing that?
Yes.
That is what Netanyahu is calculating, is that they eventually will retaliate, and then Britain and the United States and Britain and the West will then come on behind his side, and the story will move away from Gaza and it'll turn to Israel versus Iran.
Thanks to Peter. And I should say that he's the author of a brilliant book, The Fate of Abraham, Why the West is Wrong About Islam, a book well worth reading. We're grateful to Peter, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.